there in your sermon notes, you see that on November the 7th, 1918, Frank and Merle Graham gave had a son. It was their firstborn. It was a son that they dedicated from the very beginning to the Lord. As I have read information, biographical type books about that birth, Frank said, "God, use our boy." And the young man grew up there in the dairy farming area of North Carolina. Wasn't a very good student, wasn't interested at all in dairy farming, had a lot of energy. But just an ordinary boy, born to ordinary dairy farmers in North Carolina. And we know that young man today is evangelist Billy Graham. And God has greatly used that ordinary person. And so as we look at the scripture passage today, we're going to look at the scripture passage about some very ordinary people that God greatly used, the shepherds. And the question is, can God use me as an ordinary person in the year 2010? How do you say that? 2010, 2010, however you say it. Can God use me as an ordinary person? And our scripture today is found in Luke 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 8 and go through verse 20. And if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, some of you are saying, you know, Bob, Christmas is over. It's 2 days after. What are we doing here? Well, just hang with me, okay? Hang with me. You'll see where I'm going with this. And then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Ah, but now we're moving after Christmas. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. As we're thinking about ordinary folks today, there's no better place to come, I think, than the shepherds. There in verse 8 and 9, you see that they were the first to be informed of the coming of the Christ child. God uses ordinary people. If they were to come in to the back of the room today and try to take a seat near you, you probably would move over or get up and leave because they probably wouldn't smell very well since they were with the sheep all of the time. Shepherds were among the lowest groups on the social scale in that day. And so the first public proclamation of the good news was to social outcast. I believe that the choice was deliberate. I believe that since the gospel is for all people, it was announced first to a group whom many would simply exclude from a polite society. But God did not exclude them from receiving the good news. The shepherds were common working people, very much like us. God uses ordinary people. So I want to ask you a couple of questions today. First of all, are you just an ordinary kind of person? You're not on some kind of big executive ladder. You're not climbing up the scale, making millions of dollars. If you are, we're giving above and beyond gift today, by the way. But number two, are you willing to be used of God in the coming year? God needs you. He needs us ordinary people to be used. But there's some things that I think these shepherds had that they exhibited that today, to be used of God, we need to also have. First of all, there in verse 11, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The first thing that has to happen, we have to receive the revelation of God. The angels came and made this revelation. They focused on the one whose coming was heralded. Each of the three titles, Savior and Christ and Lord, had significance in the life of those shepherds. The word Savior was very familiar to the Jews and Gentiles. It meant healer, deliverer, benefactor. It was a word that's used of great men today. No one else is the Savior. The Scripture says, "No other name given among men whereby you can be saved except by the name of Jesus." You must come through Christ. There's no other way. There's a lot of religions out there today saying there are other ways. But let me say today to you, as was stated to these shepherds, He's the Savior. There is no other way. That's not my opinion. That's God's directive in His Word. Amen? Amen? Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through Me." But then the word Christ means Messiah. It's the anointed one to rule as king in fulfillment of God's promises to David. These shepherds were Jewish, and they understood that the ancestors had been looking for years for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of the King. And again, other religions teach differently today, don't they? But let me say to you, as revealed in God's Word, Jesus is the Messiah, fulfilling all the Old Testament requirements. Amen? He's Savior. He's Christ. But also the word here is that's used is Lord. The word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to represent Yahweh, God revealing the divine nature of Jesus. Lord, boss, if you will. The shepherds had something to say. They could be used of God because they had received the revelation of God. And we base our life as common folks just like them on such revelation found in this, the Bible, God's Word. There is no other revelation. There is no other revelation to come. This is what He's given us. And to be used of God today, we must believe and we must receive the revelation of God as expressed through His precious Word. As I think back over the year 2009 here in the life of our church, I praise the Lord for the way that you have not only received that revelation in your own life, but you've gone out to proclaim that revelation. I think about the mission trips that we've taken. Wesley's down here in several weeks in the Philippines. Scores of people led to Christ. I think about India and the mission trip there. Brazil, the mission trip there. Africa, and you'll hear more about that one in just a moment. The mission trip there. I think about our camps, our student camp, our Camp Gap. I think about our Vacation Bible School as we saw many young people receive the revelation of God to be Savior, to be Christ, to be Lord in their lives. I think about the way that our young people, we're seeing baptisms of young people almost every Sunday. Amen? Amen? Amen. Our young people have taken to heart sharing Christ with their friends at school. We praise the Lord for that, students. We know that is a difficult thing for you to do, to make a stand. Thank you for being willing to be used of God in such a way. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Yes. But that really leads to the second point that I want to say. Not only did the shepherds have to receive that revelation and realize that the revelation had to do with the Savior, it had to do with the Christ, it had to do with Lord, but they were willing then to make the proclamation of what they had received. Some of you again are saying, well, Christmas is over, we're 2 days past. Well, this is where it moves beyond the Christmas time, because they went out and made that proclamation. Let me say one more thing about the revelation. I'm aware that some of you may be here today that really have never received that revelation. You've never come to a point of accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord of your life. And in just a little bit, we'll have an opportunity for you to do just that if you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The greatest way that I think you could begin a new year is beginning with a relationship with God. Amen? And then there may be some that said, you know, 2009 was a great year, but I knew Him as Savior, but I didn't know Him as Lord. And there may be a time that this may be a great time for you to just come back and recommit to that as well. Because in 2010, like the shepherds to be used of God, we need to make proclamation. And verse 17 there, if you'll look, it said, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. The shepherds were not only the first to hear the proclamation of the good news, they were the first humans to tell about the good news. They were quick to respond to the announcement of the heavenly messengers. They were diligent to make it known to other people. Here's what McLaren, one of the commentators, says. Note the conduct of the shepherds as a type of the natural impulse and imperative duty of all possessors of God's truth. Such a story as they had to tell would burn its way to utterance in the most reticent and shyest. But have Christians a less wonderful message to deliver, or a less needful one? If the spectators of the cradle could not be silent, how impossible it ought to be for the witnesses of the cross to lock their lips. Amen. If you're not expressing, if you're not proclaiming the revelation of God, you can't be used as effectively as God wants to use you. You've heard me say several times from this pulpit and even in private settings that I feel like that each of us are uniquely gifted, that the Scripture teaches that each of us have spiritual gifts unique to us that are to be used for the edification of the body of Christ, to be used for the Lord, not for our own individual, to meet our own individual needs. And you have gifts. And I'm hoping that as you go into a new year, it'll be a new year of committing those gifts to the Lord. It may be through teaching. John's always looking for some ABF leaders. It may be through singing in the choir, singing on a praise team, playing an instrument. It may be through soul winning. But I'm telling you, God uses ordinary people, even like the shepherds, even like us, to proclaim the gospel. And He wants to do that even more so in the year 2010. And today, we need such proclamation in Texas. There are 10 million lost people around us. We think about the lost people in Africa or in the Philippines or in Brazil or in India. But let me tell you, there are 10 million lost people in Texas. One out of two people in Mesquite, if the statistics hold for what's true for Texas, one out of two doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of life. That's why it's important for our students to make that kind of commitment. But adults, we need to follow their lead as we move into a new year. And we need to be proclaiming Christ as we go. I'm hoping that the new year will bring a fresh commitment on the part of all of us in the life of this church to proclaim Christ. I don't think it's ever been driven more home to me than on our trip to Africa. As we went into villages that no one knew the Lord, we used an evangelism cube. I really meant to bring one this morning with me. I have it in my office. But we wanted to help them visualize what we were talking about. And the cube started out with a man's image on it. And it had heaven and hell. And we talked about heaven and hell and man. And then it opened up into a larger cube that has the cross. And we talked about the cross. And as we went through the different things, we talked about Jesus dying on the cross, and then it opens up into a tomb. And we talked about the tomb and about Jesus being risen from the dead for our sin. And eventually it comes back around to give them the opportunity to accept Christ. And as you know, as I've shared with you before, in one village we went in, 24 huts, no one had ever heard the gospel in that village before, and we saw 57 people accept Christ in one day. Wow. Such a simple little thing. And I thought, Lord, why don't I do that more in Mesquite, Texas? Because we've got those around us that are lost, just as lost. I think that this would be a great time to realize again that we need, like the shepherds, to be proclaiming the gospel. Maybe it has something to do with this. This is a very spiritual piece I'm reading here, Ann Landers. And God said no. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for Him to take away, but for me to give up. And so I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. He said her spirit is whole. Her body is only temporary. So I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it's earned. So I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. He said He gives me blessings. Happiness is up to me. I asked God to spare me pain, and God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. So I asked God to make my spirit grow, and God said no. He said I must grow on my own, but He will prune me to make me fruitful. So I said, okay, God, just help me love others as much as You love me. And God said, finally, You have the right idea. Could it be about the love or the lack of that we have for those around us? Have you proclaimed the gospel this week? Have you told anyone that Jesus saves? Have you loved enough to do that? We're going to do something now that's totally unbaptistic. We're going to do the invitation in the middle of the message. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And I'm going to ask our ministers to come. And here's the invitation today. The invitation is for two things. Number one, you're here and you realize that you've never received the revelation. And you need to come and say, I want to know how to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of life. Number two, You need to make a fresh commitment as we move into the new year. Individually, and I hope we'll do this as a church, that we're going to proclaim Christ like we've never done before. We have received the revelation. Now we're going to make a proclamation more than ever before. Maybe you're here and you've been thinking about joining this church. I can't think of a better way to start a new year than to come here and say, I want to join with Mimosa Lane as we help people receive that revelation. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Don't leave. You've only heard point two. I got another one, all right? Lord, I just ask your blessings on this time. God, you have told us that anytime we are confronted with choices in your word through the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord, it demands decisions. And I pray that each of us would be obedient to the decisions that you would have us make at this time. God, individually, they're in our seats. Lord, even if we need to grab someone near us and say, come and pray with me, that I would be better in 2010 at making proclamation than I've ever done before. And God, I pray that as a church, we'll change here with a fresh commitment. We'll say, Lord, because we have received the revelation, because we have experienced Christmas, we're going to be more obedient to making proclamation in the year to come. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Not only do we need, and did the shepherds have to receive the revelation, not only do we need to make proclamation, but the scripture teaches us, thirdly, that the shepherds had something else that we need to have. There in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They had a celebration. And I think that's missing so much in our individual lives as Christians today. It's missing in our churches today. The scripture teaches that they returned to the fields keeping the sheep. They were in the day-to-day life, day-to-day parts of their lives, glorifying and praising God. My granddaddy, who was from the Panhandle, would have said they had a spell. Bet you hadn't heard those words in a while. Maybe never. They were glorifying and praising God. So many sad Christians today. We get so wrapped up in the circumstances of life. But if we have received the revelation of God, and if we are about making proclamation, we should be having a time of celebration of God in our lives. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen? No one should have to beg us to lift praises and glory to God. Even as we come in this place so often, we bring all of the world's burdens with us, and we just don't let the Lord release those, take those off of us like we should. And I'm hoping again, as we move into the new year, we'll make a fresh commitment individually and as a church to not only making proclamation in this community, but glorifying and celebrating and praising God. If you've come here simply to do something religious, you'll be, as the scripture says, a dead man not walking. You say, well, I'm a little afraid to be too celebrative. You know, people might worry about me being charismatic, and I don't want to get out on a limb. Folks, most of us aren't even up in the tree, much less out on a limb. God help us to have joy. God help us to have joy. And we'll do it decently, and we'll do it in order. It's okay to smile. It's okay to praise God. Outwardly, the shepherds did. I'm going to show you a clip in just a moment. I want to set the stage for it. And that's really what came up, that's what this point came about from while we were in Africa. You know, it's interesting that if we go to a football game at the Cowboys Stadium and we get all excited, in fact, some of you get excited just at home. I've heard you yelling at your television set, okay? What are we called? We're called a fan. But if we get excited about Jesus, people think we're some kind of fanatic. You know what? We need to be fans about Jesus. And I'm just hoping again that we can go into the new year with that kind of enthusiasm, excitement, and celebration of who He is and who He is in the life of this church. As we were making those daily journeys, hard daily journeys in Africa, across those mountaintops, and the people here that were on those on that trip know, it makes their back hurt for me to just say that. They know how rough. But we were so blessed as we could hear Christian groups coming in to greet us, praising God. Some of them walking 10 and 12 miles, coming across those mountains, up and down into the valleys to assemble, to greet us. And here's the way they did it. This is also some groups that sang in the service that we had on Sunday. Isn't it interesting that they have so little, and yet they can celebrate God? Amen. We have so much, and so often we just can't bring ourselves to celebrate and praise the Lord. Do you have the revelation today? Amen? Amen. Are you ready to make proclamation as we move out of this place? Amen? Amen? Are we ready to have a celebration? Amen. This is going to be New Year's week. And people are going to celebrate New Year's. But you know what? We're going to leave this place celebrating Jesus today. Amen? Amen. They're going to lead us. And then, folks, we're going to celebrate. And we're dismissed as you leave, okay? Sing for us. Lead us in celebration.
You, amen. Thank you, Father. Yes. Happy New Year. Wow. Awesome. Lead this charge.